Vayas. Let us pray and get started. Father, we thank you and we praise you and give you the glory, Lord God. Father, this is the day that you have made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you that you open our eyes, that we see, our ears, that we hear, and you give us a heart to understand exactly what you're saying to us. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We're still on the grace, the fivefold ministry grace of the apostle. And last week I told you I was going to set up on the line online the 26 duties that I found. There's more than 26, but those are prevalent to what we're going through. So they are up online. It's on page from I think the 23rd, October 23rd, on that page. So if you want to go on it, it's on a PDF. If you want to print it out, you can print it out and go over it. It's, I also put the scriptures on the PDF. I don't have them on my page here on my notes here, but we do have them on. Oh, shit, somebody printed them out. So anyway, let me go. I want to cover at least 10, five more, so we get to number 10 tonight. And again, this is what we're doing. We're talking about the apostolic. We're talking about apostolic government. And since we're talking apostolic government and we have not heard enough about the apostle, I want to give you as much information as I can about the apostle. As we know, in our basic scriptures, we go through and we Ephesians 2:19 and 20, where it says, you're no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens of the household of God and built up on the foundation of the apostle, prophets and apostles, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We know our basic scripture over in Ephesians 4:11, where he's saying he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. And also 1 Corinthians 12:28, where it says that, and God has set some in the church. He said, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. Then he said, after we get the government corrected, then we can begin to see some signs, wonders, miracles, gifts of tongues, helps, governments, and those type of things. So since it's under those fivefold ministry graces that we are concerned about, one of the things that we told you earlier is about the apostle and the prophets are basically hearing from heaven, finding out what heaven wants here on the earth. I need to keep your focus on that. And so if they're finding out what heaven wants here on earth, then they're important. They're bringing back, importing it to the body. So let's go over some more of the duties executed by an apostle from some notes I've got. Last week we did the first five. We're going to go through at least five more tonight. The apostle, another duty that the apostle does is to reform. Apostles are reformers. They bring the necessary change to the house of God. Apostles are raised up during times of reformation. Scripture reference you can use for that is Hebrews 9:10. Number 7, apostles build. Apostles are wise master builders. The apostolic anointing is a building anointing. Apostles help build strong churches. They have been likened to general contractors. They are responsible for overseeing the construction of the house of God. Number 8, the apostles bring revelation. Apostolic ministry is a ministry of revelation. Apostles bring insight to the body of Christ concerning the plans and purposes of God. You can read Ephesians 3:1-5 and 1 Thessalonica 5:23. Apostles' father. Apostles are spiritual fathers. As fathers, they birth, protect, and teach and mentor. They restore the principle of fatherhood to the church. So under the LT umbrella of the LTMA ministry, we find out that we have approximately 80 some churches that falls under this umbrella. We have about 130 some various ministers that also falls under the apostolic ministry here at Word of Life Christian Center, our Leroy Thompson Ministerial Association. And so in the process of training and teaching, he's teaching pastors and ministers. He's fathering them. It's not taking them in hands-on. It's following the apostle, find out what he wants. The apostle, again, is finding out what heaven wants. And then he's coming along and imparting that to the various ministers. And so, again, on every Tuesday of every month, we have our what we call our impartation calls. And the apostle calls up all the ministers that's under LTMA, come online, and he begins to impart to those various ministers, pastors, that's part of the LTMA. Number 10 is the apostle lay foundation. The apostolic anointing is a foundational anointing. Apostles lay foundation in the lives of God's people, preparing them for coming moves of God. Without apostolic ministry, people lack the proper foundation to grow properly. And so, again, we can go back and look at our basic scripture over in Ephesians 4 and 11 and where it says, let's turn over there, let's look at it so we can see it. The word of God says, so then faith cometh by hearing and by hearing and by hearing and by hearing and by hearing the word of God. So if we hear, then we can get faith for, then we can begin to act on those things. Ephesians chapter 4. And verse 11 again, it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. He said, for the perfecting of the saints, that maturing of the saints. So that's part of that verse for maturity. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so it's to mature us. It's to get us ready to work in the ministry. It's to build up the body of Christ. And then verse 13 say, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And so when the apostles took over in the book of Acts, we found out that they some of the same things that Jesus did since he was the foundation, some of the same things that Jesus did, the apostles did also. It said it got to the point that even some of the apostles passed by people was here just from their shadow. And so that means they had caught on and they was carrying out the commission that God had given to them to go ye into all the world and teach the body. Let's see how that happened and what happened. Turn to the book of Acts. Chapter 2. This is after the Holy Spirit had came and set up on them. They all got filled with the Holy Ghost, and Peter came along and preached that awesome message over here in Acts chapter 2. And here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayer. And they say in verse 43, say, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostle. Many signs and wonders were done by the apostle. Acts chapter 5, verse 11, and here we see it again. It says, and great fear, Acts 5 and 11, it says, and great fear came upon all the church. And upon as many as heard these things, and by the hands of the apostle were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And so, again, I wanted you to see there's many signs and wonders. So everywhere we see in the scripture, as apostles are doing what they're supposed to do, then we should be seeing signs and wonders in the church. We say, well, why we are not seeing? Well, the government is not in place like it should be. If the government was in place, the apostolic government was in place, then we, based on what the Word of God says, then we should be seeing those signs and wonders. So somewhere along the line, we got away from God's government. And when we got away from God's government, then the things that was happening in Scripture, in the Bible, they stopped being manifested. Those signs, those wonders stopped being manifested. They saw some few signs and a few wonders, but just like, you know, everywhere they went, they was doing like Jesus did. They was destroying the works of the devil. Because in Acts, again, Ephesians 4 and 11, when we get down there, it says in, you know, 13, it says, until we all come into the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus, that's where we should be going. He laid the foundation. The apostles and the prophets came along and built up on that foundation, imparted that to the body of Christ, to the body, to the members, and then they begin to do the exact same thing. So turn to Ephesians, and let's look at a scripture here in Ephesians chapter 3. And this is the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, we'll see a lot from him. He wrote about 2/3 of the New Testament. And what was he doing? He got revelation about the body of Christ, and he came along and he began to give doctrine to the church. And so he wrote it down. He sent it to the various churches in the area, the church at Ephesus, the Corinthian church, the church at Philippi, the Galatians. He wrote them all these various doctrines that the church should be following. And so here in Ephesians chapter 3, looking at I begin to read at verse 1. It says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles." He said, "If you've heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you," from me to you. He said, "how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words." So it was revealed to him. And remember, many times we say you cannot get anything from just by reading. The Spirit of God have to reveal whatever he's saying to us. We have to come to us by revelation. He said, "whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit." So God said, I'm coming back and I'm revealing those things to the apostles and the prophet that I intended for the body of Christ to know. Along the line, the body of Christ, it slipped away from them, those things that we should be known to the Christ, to the body. And since it's slipped away, then God has said, bring the apostles back, restoring, reformation, reviving the apostolic government in the church. And so this is something he's doing right now. Just like when the spiritual revolution began and the charismatic revolution began in the early 19th century, God said, this is something I did. People got filled with the Holy Ghost again over at Azusa Street and back in Topeka, Kansas, those areas. It spread out throughout the world, basically. And many people came into it. It was always there. That was there. But then God said, at this particular time, this is what I'm doing now. So this is what God is doing now. You say, I want to know what God is doing. I don't want to know, you know, what he's done in the past. I want to know what God is doing right now. This is what God is doing right now. He's restoring the apostolic government back to the church so that we can begin to see signs and wonders operating in the body, just like we did in the book of Acts when they all got filled with the Holy Spirit. And so I wanted to bring that up to you and show you that. So let's go back and look at some of the when you get revelation of what God is doing, you begin to, you know, you act like the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, like I say, you know, I study the various epistles and see how the Apostle Paul operates. And when he come along, he began to give doctrine to the church, give correction to the church. He corrects, apostles corrects, you know, doctrine that's in the church. And so one of my favorite passages of scriptures, go to 1 Corinthians, and let's look at how Apostle Paul, after he came out of that Arabian desert, it took him 14 years. He was out there all along with God, getting this revelation about the body of Christ. And he came back to the church. He came back to the Corinthian church, and he began to preach and teach to them. And one of the things he said, you know, he didn't come back with his own understanding, his own knowledge, with man's wisdom. Many times we who are in the body of Christ, and we get a little revelation, we learn a few scriptures, and then we want to come back and we want to put our own input into the things of God. So here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, this is Apostle Paul, and this is how he began to talk. He said, "Our brethren," he said, "when I came to you," he said, "I came to you not with excellence of speech, wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." He said, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." This is apostle. An apostle is talking to the Corinthian church. He said, you know, he had the ability to come back because he had been trained in the best schools of the time. You know, he'd go on and you'd find out where he had, you know, went to all the training schools in the natural. He said, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." He said, "My speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." He said that your faith, and that's why he did it. He said, "I do it this way, so I, you know, it's not coming from me." He said that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So our faith should not be in what man can do or what men can do. We should always be looking at the Father. Again, the apostles receive revelation to come and impart it to us, and then we are to go back and find out, you know, "Well, you're giving it to me, Father. What it is you want me to do with this revelation that you've given it to me?" And so what we do, you know, as we begin to mature in the things of God, and God brings something and lays something on our spirits. And again, Apostle Paul was the teacher. And over in Ephesians chapter 1, let's go over there. And he'll say things like, how do I digest these words that you've given unto me? And so we go to the Holy Spirit. We go to the one who come to help us to navigate through this spiritual kingdom. And we are in a spiritual kingdom, and we need to know how to navigate through this. We who are in the body of Christ, we're still operating in the kingdom like we operate in the world system. The things that we learn, you know, in kindergarten, in elementary school, secondary school, in the world system school. God say, "I need y'all to grow up in the spiritual kingdom, in this kingdom that I created for you once you came into it." It's a different kingdom. It's a different system. So he said, I need you to do some things. And so he said, here he said, right again, he said, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Verse 6 says, "Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, not of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even a hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." And so, again, you know, I ask the question, how do I receive those things which God has given to me, and which when I read scripture, how do I get it? How is it revealed to my spirit? Well, God done told us. He said we can come to him and we can ask him. He said, you know, we meditated at scripture in 1 John 5:14. It tells us that if we ask him anything according to his will, he hear us. And if we know that he hear us, then the petitions that we're asking for, we know that we receive them. And so it's his will that we that the revelation of the kingdom of God be revealed to us. So, you know, scriptures has already been used and got manifestation of it. God said we can go back and take those same scriptures that has been revealed to individuals. We don't have to create new revelation. We can, it's already been revealed to us, so we can take those scriptures. We was going to Ephesians chapter 1, and the Apostle Paul again, which was, he laid the foundation. Ephesians 1:14, that's, you know, that's a perfect example. And so we know God told Joshua, in order for him to make himself good success, in Joshua 1:8, he said, what you do, you take and you meditate it. You meditate these scriptures. And he didn't just say, you know, sometimes. He said, you meditate them day and night. And so that means I'm constantly out of my mind. It could be one scripture. It could be one thing that the Spirit of God has given to you. He's saying you meditate in it day and night, and you make your way prosperous, and you have good success in those. And good success means that that which God has given to me, that means it's going to manifest in my life. You know, and so here in Ephesians chapter 1, looking at we'll start at verse 15. It's a this is Apostle Paul talking to the church at Ephesus. He said, "There's another apostle." And like I say, he laid the foundation for the church. And as we go through, and we'll see many things that the Apostle Paul, which was one of the apostles, made correction in the church doctrine. He said, "Wherefore, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints." So we have. Our faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we came into the kingdom, by believing in him. We made that confession over in Romans 10:8-9, where it said, what's it, that the word is not in our mouth and in our heart. Said if you confess, we made that confession. So we became believers. And so that's what the Apostle Paul was telling this, these Gentiles over in Ephesus. And He said, wherefore, after I heard, verse 15, of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the love unto all the saints. He said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in our prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. In the knowledge. So what you're doing, you're receiving revelation of God. And we begin to see things like God see them. When we get a revelation of what he said in that word, rather than seeing it the way someone is trying to explain it to me, the Holy Spirit going to reveal it to me just like God sees it. And when I see it like God see it, the results that God gets is the results that I'm going to get for the situation that I'm seeking God for. Remember over in Joshua, when he told Joshua, when the walls of Jericho was getting ready to come down, and he told Joshua, he said, see, he told Joshua that he was going to give them the wall and all of Jericho. But he wanted them to see, he wanted you to see and see it like he see it. He wants you to perceive it like he perceive it. And he told him to see. He said, I've given unto you the walls of Jericho. And you know, the scriptures say Joshua 6, it's saying, and you know, nothing came in, nothing went out, and you know, and the walls were so wide that the chariot, there's 4 or 5 chariots could pass by each other side by side. But he told Joshua just to see. So he's saying, see it like I see it. When I give you a word, I want you to see that word just like I see it. I want you to perceive that word like I perceive it. And when you see it like I see it, then the results that you need to get is going to come to pass in your life. For instance, if you need healing in your body, and he didn't give you the word over in Isaiah 53:4, where it says he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes I am healed. So when I hear that scripture, I have to see that word just like God saw that word. And when I see it like he see it, then it's going to manifest in my life. But the way I see it, the way he see it, he told me in Joshua 1:8, I have to meditate it. And then not only do I meditate it, I have to go to the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. And I have to ask him. I say, reveal to me that scripture. So it become part of me. And when it become part of me, then I can act like Jesus. So it is, and it becomes that God, I'm not doing the works itself. It's God himself. I've connected to the power source. And when I connect to the power source, whatever power is coming out at from the beginning, that source, then it's going to come through me and it's going to manifest that which I'm seeking God for. And so, again, we was reading that scripture in verse 18. It say that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of your calling, or the hope of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So that's a prayer that the Apostle Paul, he prayed for the church at Ephesus, not just one individual, but he prayed for the whole church. And so since we are the body of Christ, we are the church in this world now, so he prayed that same prayer for us, and we can get the same results that the church at Ephesus got. And so that's the Apostle Paul. He's teaching us how to operate. That's his whole purpose, is find out what heaven wants here on this earth. What do he want? How you operate in the kingdom. And since he's going to teach us how to operate, he's going to impart to us. Then what he tell us, when he tell us to do something, then we do that. And when we do that, then we get the manifestation of those things that we're seeking God for. Let me go back to my lesson, give you some more pointers. We started last week on the key characteristics of an apostolic environment and culture. We went through the five table waiters, the seven table waiters. We looked at Philip and the things that Philip did, you know, after God had called him to wait on tables. Then he went out and he was doing that evangelistic meeting. Then he went out, met the eunuch on the chariot, where he talked to him and explained scriptures from Isaiah 53. And then after, you know, he suddenly disappeared from where the eunuch was. And one of the things I missed out on last week, when God tell you to do something, he has a purpose for telling you to do something. And if you just expand yourself and begin to see how God operates, that eunuch which came from Ethiopia, he was the Ethiopian eunuch, and he got saved when he came to Jerusalem. And when he got saved, he took that salvation back to that continent where he was from. And you know, if you just can see it, you can see a whole continent getting saved just because he was obedient to what God told Philip. And when he got him saved, and then he went back and brought others into the kingdom. And so, again, it's not about what we're doing or how good or what we think we're doing. When God tell us to do something, we do what he tell us to do. And then God going to get the glory out of it. It's not about our glory. One of the things, one of the sources of Jesus' power, his great power, was you go to John 6 and 38, where Jesus said, I came down from heaven. He said, not to do mine will, but the will of the Father which sent me. And so when we get to the point that we want to do the Father's will, then we can always know that the Father's going to work with us, and he's going to confirm his word with sign following. And see, you know, no matter what we do, no matter how many times we lay hands on people and they get healed, it's always God who's doing the work. It's God who's confirming his word with signs following. And I want to keep your focus not just on, you know, apostolic government, but we need to focus on the kingdom. See, again, God has set us here in this earth realm. He's set up a kingdom in the earth realm. Jesus explained that in Matthew chapter 6. And when he told his apostles, again, he said, I need y'all to pray this way. He said, pray that our, you know, pray to the Father, which is in heaven. He said that thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So if we're praying that way, then that's what's going to happen in the earth. God's kingdom is being established in the earth realm, and we can see those supernatural manifestations of God's glory in the earth realm. God say, I want to fill the earth with my glory. I want my kingdom established, but I want it, the way I'm going to establish it is through individuals who are operating in the kingdom the way I set it up. And if they're operating through, then I'm going to work through them and get my glory in the earth realm. It ain't by what we do. We're going to mature, and then God come in. He works through us and manifests his glory in the earth realm. So since we're talking about the kingdom, the kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the church is to be a place of exceeding abundant joy. Exceeding abundant joy. And so if we're in a place and there's not exceeding abundant joy, then what's happening? We're not operating in the kingdom the way God set it up. One of the things that Jesus, before he ascended, he was teaching. And throughout the Gospels, he was teaching about the kingdom, how you operate in the kingdom. He was telling the disciples. He took them and he carried them through it. And everywhere he went, he was teaching them about the kingdom of God. And so we need to know that the church is a supernatural entity in the kingdom here on the earth. I made the statement. Let's go to Acts. Yeah, that's maybe even see it a little bit there. So this was after his resurrection. Acts chapter 1. Go to Acts chapter 1. And I'll read here for context. Here in Acts chapter 1, it says, the former treatise I have made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. So I remember I covered the teacher first because I wanted to see an example of what a real teacher in the body of Christ. Jesus was our example of what a teacher. He always taught and then he demonstrated the things that he taught. He said, until the day in which he was taken up, after that, he through the Holy Ghost. So that Holy Spirit is again. Everything that Jesus did, he did it through the Holy Spirit. He ain't did nothing of himself. Everything, you know, if he needed the Holy Spirit to operate in the kingdom on earth, then we who are just mere people need the Holy Spirit to operate in the earth, in the kingdom of God, the way Jesus operated. He said he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen at that time. He gave commandments. He said to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So after his resurrection, he walked the earth. He carried apostles with him after he came through. And when those 40 days that he was walking the earth, he was explaining to them about the kingdom and how you operate in the kingdom. And these are the things that comes with the kingdom. And he gave them specific instructions. He didn't just he taught them, but he also he commanded them. He commanded them to do some things. He said to whom he showed himself, verse 3, himself alive after his passion by many infallible proof, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, you have heard of me. Then verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So the Holy Spirit had not come to baptize them yet. Remember as he was walking and he was walking the earth and he was talking to the disciples and apostles. And he got to a point before he got ready to ascend to the throne of his Father, and he told him, he said, you know, what I need y'all to do, I need y'all to tarry ye here in Jerusalem. He told him, he said, now the same power that I got, the same power that I operated in while I was here on earth, he said, you're going to operate in that same power. He didn't just casual ask. It says right here, he came in. Turn, I tell you what, let's go over to Luke. He's talking about the kingdom and how Jesus said we should be operating in the kingdom. Here in Luke chapter 24, turn over there and you can highlight it, underline it, set. Chapter 24, and we're just going to read one verse here, and we're going to look at verse 49. This is Jesus speaking. He says in verse 49, he said, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. He said, but tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. So he said, you can't even go out and minister. You can't do anything until you go out, until you receive that power. See, you know, we have whole denominations, you know, squabbling over whether we should be filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Who say they are Christians? And, you know, I have no doubt about it if they confess Jesus. But he told them, in order for you to minister, you need this power. Yeah, in order for you to minister effectively, you need this power. He said, but tarry ye, this is the last thing he told him. Right? He said, but tarry ye here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hand and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried into heaven. That was those 40 days that he was walking the earth, explaining to them the things of the kingdom of God. And so before he got ready to go, the last commandment that he made, and one of the things Jesus always said, if you love me, you're going to keep my commandments. And so he said, and he was carried into heaven, and they worship him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. So that, you know, I go back to the kingdom again. He, you know, the kingdom of God, the church should be a place of great joy. We should know when we come to church on a Sunday morning that we're going to get whatever answer, whatever the enemy has tried to put on us, we're going to get an answer from those at which we the enemy that's attacking us on. So it should be great joy. I got my answer. And so since I got my answer, I'm happy about that. It said, verse 52, and say, and they worship him and return to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. So be it. You know, it's saying, you know, so they got the answer. And so now we get over into the book of Acts. So let's go back over to Acts. And see what he said here, and we'll read through it. He said, until the day in which he was taken up, that's when he was taken up. He went up to heaven, and he had told him, he said, wait here, tarry he in Jerusalem. He said, and had commanded them unto the apostles whom he had chosen. So it wasn't like, again, it was not a casual asking. It was a commandment. So he commanded them not to leave. He commanded them to tarry in Jerusalem. He said, and to whom he also, he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the camp of the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. He said, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said, ye have heard of me. Verse 5 says, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore was come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So what they did, they jumped out of the realm of the spirit, jumped right back over in the natural. They was looking for a natural kingdom with a natural king to be set up in the earth realm. He let us know right here that it's not going to be a natural kingdom, but it is a spiritual kingdom that we are now in. And so he goes on to say, and he explained to them in the next verse, he said, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But then he explained to them, he said, but you, If you like I tell you to do, if you keep my commandment, he said, you're going to receive power. He said, after that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. He said, and then you're going to be witnesses. He said, you're going to be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. He said, if once the Holy Spirit come up on you and you begin to operate, witness doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to be telling them about him. It's going to be doing the same manifestations in the earth that Jesus was manifesting when he was here on the earth. That's a witness. I saw him do it. So since I knew it can be done, I can do the exact same thing. I can lay hands on the sick and they should recover, because that's what the word of God says to me. That's what I can do. And since he said it, I know I don't have to heal them. God himself said, you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. And then when we got to back, the book of Acts in chapter 2, and it tells us what happened. It said, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, it said they was all in one accord in one place. That was the one he commanded not to leave. He said, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, verse 2, from heaven, and man can't receive anything, can't receive nothing in this realm unless we receive from heaven. That's what the Bible tells us. So it came from heaven. It said, as of a rushing mighty wind, and filled all the house where they were sitting, and they appeared unto them with cloven tongues, like as a fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit had gave them an utterance. And so now they, it didn't jump on them and make them speak like most people think it does. It said, they spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they began to speak. So they got filled with the Holy Ghost. And now, when you get filled, with the Holy Spirit, then you're going to be led by the Spirit of God, just like Jesus was when he came up out of that Jordan River. He came up out of the Jordan River, and it said the Spirit of God lit on him like a dove. It said the heavens was open, and God spoke and said, this is my beloved Son, and over in Luke chapter 2, God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Well, that's why when the Bible tells us over in John 1:12, it says that if as many as receive him, do he give them the ability to become sons of God. But you got to do it the way he did it, so we can operate as sons of God like Jesus did when he was on the earth. And the same results that he got when he was here, we should be getting the same results. If we're not getting the same results, that means we're not doing it the way he said do it. Because what God told us, Numbers 23:18, God said, I'm not a man that I shall lie. I'm not the son of man that I have to repent. He said, if I said it, I'm going to make it good. And so if he said he's going to make it good, then all I have to do is take that word and believe what he said, and then allow it to manifest in my life. And so, again, we're talking about the kingdom here. And what the kingdom, turn to Romans, let's look over there and see what the kingdom looked like to us who are in the kingdom. Romans chapter 14. Here it is again. Romans 14 and 17. It tells us here, it says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. So it let us know right here, it's not a natural kingdom. Meat and drink is something physical or natural, something you can feel that you can put your hands on. But it tells us that, but righteousness and peace. Remember when we started this culture of honor class, one of the things that Jesus came to reestablish, he said, of his peace there shall be no end. He's up on the throne of David to establish it and order it with justice forever, even until now. And so the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so if that's what's happening, then that's what we should be operating accordingly. Again, turn to Luke. Again, Father, we're establishing the kingdom. So it's not a natural kingdom. Luke chapter 17. And we'll read verse 20 and 21. So here it is again in Luke 7, 21. It say, and when he demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, see, because they wanted to know when this kingdom going to come, when are we going to see it? And so, you know, we're here in the body, we're in the church, and we, you know, we want to see this. It's not going to be a kingdom that we're going to be able to see with our natural eyes. As our apostles teaching us about faith, everything that we receive in the kingdom, we have to receive it by faith. We have to know that God has said it. And if he said it in his word, then we take his word, we believe what he said, and allow manifest in my life by faith. That's why he tells us in Hebrews 11:6, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. We who come to God must believe that he, you know, what he said in his word, must believe that he's not going to, his word is going to return him void, but going to prosper in the thing that he sent it out to do. We must believe that, and that he reward us because we diligently seeking him, not seeking it. We are seeking him for the answers to the situation. That's why we go to the Holy Spirit, and we go to the Holy Spirit and tell him to show me what you want me to do. Show me what you want me to do. We ask him what it is. That's growing up in the things of God. We stop trusting our own selves. They trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your Proverbs 3. It says, and lean not to your understanding. He said, in everything that you do, you acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So we can, you know, walk this kingdom the way he said it. The Holy Spirit do that for us. So here in Luke chapter 18, it says, when he was demanding of the Pharisees, they came to him and they said, show us the kingdom. We want to know the kingdom. We want to see the kingdom. So they demanded that he show it to them. And when the kingdom of God should come, and he answered them and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So that means I can't see it with my natural eyes. The kingdom has to be revealed to me. It says, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is within you. So I've now received the kingdom that Jesus was teaching me about. I received it by faith and allowed it to come on the inside of me. And so now when the kingdom, when healing comes to an individual that God has sent me to lay hands on, that means that the kingdom of God, as Jesus said, has come near that individual, because it's not out there or out there. It's coming from within you. And that's where the kingdom is. God is working through you, manifesting his kingdom in the earth realm, just like he did when Jesus was here on the earth. Again, let me give you a few more pointers for my class in here. He said, God desires those who don't yet know him to come into a relation with him where the primary emphasis is love and not merely service. He want to, you know, God say, he tells us, he says, God so loved the world. So he was the first giver of love. We have this ability in us. Romans 5:5 say, hold ashamed for the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. So we find out that the Holy Spirit is very important for us to operate in this kingdom. Everywhere you see it, you see the Holy Spirit is showing up so we can carry out these manifest earth realm. We need the Holy Spirit to do whatever we need to do in the earth realm. The Holy Spirit is going to have to be present in our life. We think we can do it on our own. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So we need to get intimate, very intimate with the Holy Spirit. Let him know, you know, he's always with you. He's never going to leave you. As you know, in our meditation scripture from last week, Isaiah 41:10, he's always with you. And so you just, you know, put that mantle of the Spirit of God upon you. And whenever you walk through his earth, like Jesus did, Jesus said, I didn't do the work. He said, it was me and the Father that's in me that did the work. And so, and we, when we begin to do those things, those manifestations, the signs and the wonders and the miracles operating through us, not, you know, we're not operating signs and wonders, is operating through us. The Spirit of God is operating through us to get his kingdom manifested in the earth. And so I just gave you two pointers for this week, but that's the end of my class. Father, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you, Father, that we're no longer just hearers of what you tell us to do, but we become doers of your word. We give you praise and glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen. We sure didn't get one, huh? Let's go back and see what Romans 14:17, the one we did with the kingdom of God, where it says not meat and drink. That's a good one. Thank you, sir. 14:17. Meditation scripture is Romans 14. I had to talk to my online students too. So meditation scripture for this class is Romans 14:17. Amen.